Goodness, God, you are so awesome. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can be seated this morning. A couple of announcements. Some fun announcements, some sad announcements, some just announcements. But first thing, we mentioned it this morning at our 10 o'clock. We're really honored to have Brother and Sister Orrin Mackey here worshiping with us. It's great to have you here. Also, if you didn't notice or you didn't see their smiling faces, brother and sister Lenny and Kathy Smith are here visiting for a while. Probably enjoying in the grandchildren, right? Yes, yes. And then, you know, a little bit of a, Isaiah said yes. Okay, awesome, awesome. And then a little bit on the sad side of things. Pastor Roy mentioned this on Wednesday, but we want to mention it again. But Brother Jeffrey, can you just take a step away from everybody, kind of stand out? Sister Bianca, could you stand? This is their last Sunday here. Yeah, it's really sad. We're going to miss you. We're going to miss your attitude, the way you guys go about things, the friendships. And we're going to miss also the beautiful singing and worship that you guys lead us in. So thank you. And we wish you the best as you go forward. And it's Phoenix, Arizona, so that actually sounds really good. I was there in November, and it is gorgeous. It is gorgeous. So for this morning, for the giving options, we still have the plexiglass, clear plastic box in the back. You can still give online. You can give on via your, I don't have my phone with me, but you can give via your app, with the app on your phone. You can send it in via the mail. We will take it however you want to send it, but there are opportunities for you to give. Also, this week, the office, the church office will be closed. So there's district conference going on. So many of our staff are licensed ministers, and they will be going up there to take part in district conference for the UPCI, State of Wisconsin. So the office will be closed. So if you stay and the phone rings a lot, that's why. So one other announcement here coming up on the weekend of April 17th. So Friday, April 15th is our Good Friday service. So on Friday, April 15th is our Good Friday service, and there will be communion we'll be having. That's on 7 p.m. So it'll be a special service, some prayer, some communion, thinking about Good Friday and what God did at Easter. And that's just 3 short weeks away. And then 2 days later on Sunday, the 17th, we have our special Easter service. Now, there will be no classes that day. We will not be doing our 10 a.m. Sunday adult Sunday school. Instead, everybody, children and everybody, will be in here at 10 a.m. So how many people were here for the Christmas service? Many of you, yes. Be very similar. So the idea behind the Christmas service, and this is a three-part, as a pastoral team got together and figured, how do we want to really tie these in? There's a three-part message. And Christmas was all about the why. You can sort of see the symbol and the kind of faded away here. This Easter is about the how. We want to focus on the how and what happened and how it happened and how that impacts us today on the story of Easter. It'll be a very similar service. It won't just be you get to sit here and listen anymore. You actually have to do some self-reflection and prayer. You know, that's a cool thing. And there'll be some worship, and it'll be a really awesome service. And so that is at 10 a.m. On Sunday, April 17th. And this is your chance to invite somebody to join on Easter Sunday at 10 a.m. So invite somebody to come and celebrate and worship with us on Easter. Lastly, if we could all stand, we want to say a prayer for this service. But also, for those of you that haven't heard, Sister Lois's father passed away this past week. And so we want to say a special prayer for them. Keep them in your prayers throughout the week. You know, I wouldn't stop today, but let's say a prayer for them today that God would be with them and comfort them in this time of loss. And let's pray that God would have his way in this service, okay? Thank you, Jesus, for today. God, Lord, we know that you are an all-powerful God. Lord, we know that you are loving and caring, and God, you give us strength, but God, we also know that you're a comforter. God, we pray that you would reach down to Sister Lois and Pastor Roy and their families, God. Lord, in the loss of her father, God, I pray that you would bring peace and you would bring comfort to these situations, Lord, and that your will would be done through all of this, God. We don't understand everything in life, God, but we know we can turn to you in every situation. God, I pray, Lord, we pray, Lord, this for this service, God. Every part of this service, God, every part of the music and the preaching from Brother Seidel, God, anoint it, God. Open our hearts and minds to hear what you have for us, for me specifically, God, for every heart here, God. Let us not leave the same. Let us leave challenged and encouraged and wanting to do different, God, as we move forward. Let there be less of us and more of you this morning. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.
Like me, so undeserved. stand in awe of you, in awe of what you do. My words cannot express how I feel.
I stand in awe of you, in awe of what you do. For someone like me, so undeserving,
I stand.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
The Old Testament, he's called El Shaddai, the Almighty. Many names throughout the Bible to describe who and what he is. I'm so grateful that he's revealed himself to me in the name of Jesus Christ. He has no rival. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Praise God. Hallelujah. Why don't you lift your hands one more time? We love you, Jesus. We praise you, God. Let's ask God's blessing on this time in the Word. In Jesus' name, I ask for your anointing and your blessing. I pray, God, for your blessing upon all of us that are here to hear your Word. Minister here by your Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. According to theladders.com, Ryan Luke, in 5 years, these jobs will be all but obsolete. And actually, this is a year old, so evidently the countdown has begun. We have 4 years. During the pandemic, many workers found out their jobs were not considered essential by the government, and they were forced to work from home or were laid off. And over the past year, there has been a rapid push for automation and artificial intelligence. Some of us have been working with artificial intelligence for a long time. Sorry. Oh, the things that come into your head when you're standing behind a microphone. Because of this, many typical labor jobs may soon be on a chopping block. Here are some that are mentioned by Ryan Luke. Taxi drivers. With the increasing popularity of rideshare apps like Uber and Lyft, the traditional taxi driver who works for a taxi company faces extinction. Regular taxi services can't compete with the pricing models. Bank tellers. Automation and artificial intelligence is quickly replacing this long-standing job. For cash transactions, automatic teller machines can increasingly perform more complicated tasks than previously previously completed by a human being. Watch repairers. I thought that would get a chuckle. Two significant concerns for watch repair jobs. First, many people are switching over to smartwatches that integrate with their phones. Everybody said, me. Yeah, not me. I have a real watch on. Any issues with smartwatches are usually too complex for a traditional watch repairer, and may I say, too complex for most watch wearers. These watches must go back to their manufacturer. Printing press operators. Printed media is quickly a dying medium. While magazines and newspapers are still printed in small quantities, the next 5 years will show a massive push to strictly digital content. There were others, but the Bible says in Romans 11:29, that the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. There are many talents and skills and occupations which become obsolete over time. And we're seeing this happen in this time of rapid transition, rapid change. But the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. This passage in Romans 11 is actually talking about God's promises to Israel, the gifts and calling, where Israel is concerned. It refers to, in the verses just before this in context, refers to an entire passage about Israel's restoration. First, he talks about God's plan in verse 28, and then he talks about God's nature. But both verses demonstrate the faithfulness of God, and this is a point I want to make, despite human failure. The faithfulness of God in spite of our failure. Despite the present breach Paul is speaking about, the breach of Israel toward God, the Jews are still beloved of God because of the promises he gave to their forefathers. Amen. He still has a covenant with the nation of Israel. Verse 29 tells us that God never withdraws his gifts or calling. He never changes his mind concerning his plans. Individuals and nations may disqualify themselves. We can make wrong choices. We can adopt wrong attitudes. We can choose wrong company. We can make bad decisions that cost us everything and disqualify ourselves through unbelief and disobedience. But God doesn't change. Our changed status is never God's doing. God once chose the nation of Israel and gave them special promises. And he will always continue to offer those covenant blessings. But the same is true of those of us who've entered into covenant with Jesus Christ. The promises of God are in him. Yea and amen. Yes and so be it. They're settled. The word of God is forever settled in heaven. Amen. The Amplified Version says this for Romans 11:29, for God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. He never withdraws them when once they are given, and he does not change his mind about those to whom he gives his grace or to whom he sends his call. I want to talk about an irrevocable trust. The NET version says, for the gifts and the call of God are irrevocable. What's an irrevocable trust? Some of you may have already been involved in something like this. It's a type of trust that cannot be canceled or changed after it is finalized without permission of the beneficiary. Of course, there are two parties, two sides to the agreement, but only one side of the agreement can make a change. This sets it apart from a revocable trust, which can be altered or terminated and only becomes irrevocable when the trust maker or grantor dies. We've, all of us, entered into many revocable trusts. We've been let down. We've been betrayed. We've been left behind. With God, we have an irrevocable trust. When a grantor sets up an irrevocable trust, he gives us control of the assets placed in the trust. We're in the driver's seat. We make the decisions. We make the choices on how this relationship is going to go. God does not revoke his callings or his gifts. But we can end the arrangement at any time. He paid the price. Pastor Roy's been teaching about gifts and calling, and this is in the same vein of where hopefully this will complement what he's been teaching and preaching. If you're a child of God, if you've placed your trust in him, if you've entered into covenant, no matter where you are, no matter where you are in life, no matter where you are in your walk with God, no matter where you are in your relationships in life, in your job, whatever it is, no matter where you are, no matter what you have done, no matter what you have been through, no matter what you are going through, his covenant remains the same. You may have been away for a long time. You may have sought other things. Excellent message by Pastor Peter this morning. I especially was impressed by the part where he talked about focusing on God and keeping your eyes on him and seeing the beauty of the Lord. It's when we take our eyes off of God, when we look away from him, when we choose to go our own way, that we cease to receive the benefits of this irrevocable trust. But God doesn't change, because he's purchased this with his own blood, according to the book of Acts. James 1:17 and 18 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Every good gift, everything that's truly good in life, everything that's truly good in relationship, everything that's truly good comes from God. From the Father of lights. And then this is the part I like. There's no variation or shadow of turning. That means that no matter where you look, the light of God shines on the good things. It doesn't change from noon to sundown. All day, every day. There's no variation. God does not change. 2 Corinthians 1:18 says, but as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and no. We didn't flip-flop. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. Peter said, we have a more sure word. Praise God. For all the promises of God, verse 20, in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. So I ask you this morning, what promises has God given you? What word are you waiting on? What dreams has he placed in your heart? What visions? What gifts has God placed in your life and in your hands? God is faithful. And he does not waver. He does not change his mind. In preparation for this, I've read quite a bit about gifts. And Pastor Roy's been teaching about this, the idea of making yourself available. And the problem we have oftentimes is we think that we are not worthy. I'm not good enough. I've got this flaw. Well, look around. We're all flawed. But God hasn't changed. So when you feel the leadership and the anointing of the Holy Spirit to move in the Spirit, and it passes you by because you withhold, that wasn't your only chance. Because he doesn't withdraw his gift or his calling. He's still waiting for you to surrender. He's still calling you to submit. This calling that Paul is talking about is talking about the nation of Israel being called to be his people, to be used to him, by him, submitted to him. But it's the same calling that every Christian receives. We're called into the family of God. We're called out of darkness into his marvelous light. The word means an invitation. June is coming, and there will be many invitations from now till August and beyond, but especially during that time, spring weddings. A calling to an invitation, and on the bottom of most of them, there's a little thing that says RSVP. Are you going to RSVP to the God of the universe? Are you going to respond to his invitation, to his call? Maybe today you have never been in the house of God before. Maybe today you've never been baptized in Jesus' name or filled with his Holy Spirit. He's inviting you. That's why you're here today. He's inviting you, if you're watching online and you've never heard of this before. This is the presence of God, the Word of God, calling you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Praise God. Not because of who we are, not because we're good, but because of who He is. He is good. Not because of what we can do, but because of what He can do. Don't wait to be worthy. 1 Corinthians 1:25 says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Doesn't mean that no wise men or no noble are called, but not many. For God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. That's us, by the way. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Praise God. It's not because of who we are. It's not because we've got education. It's not because we've got great talent or great strength or because we're so pretty. I don't know if that's laughter toward me or toward... It doesn't matter, any of that. All that matters is that we respond. Respond to the Spirit of God. He's here right now. He's moving. He's calling. He's affirming. Many of us have struggled with gifts and callings. But He doesn't quit because we struggle. He continues to draw us, continues to deal with us, continues to encourage us, to invite us. 2 Timothy 1:16 says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God. Stir it up, not go get it. Because He says, it's in thee by the putting on of my hands. We've heard this. When we receive the Holy Ghost, when we're filled with God's presence, He imparts to us gifts. But we need to stir up the gift. Some of us are good at stirring things up, but maybe not always the gift. Well, what gift, Brother Seidel? What gift? Well, find out. Try something. Get involved. Pray. Fast. Come to the altar. Pray for others. Be available. When you see a need, try to meet it. Praise God. God, that's when the gift is going to be manifest, is when you're doing the work of the Lord, when you're giving God the opportunity to work through you. The gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. I don't know how many times I can say that, how many times I need to say it, but we must understand He's not going to change His mind. It's up to us to use the gifts that He's given us. Praise God. Kennedy Anderson received a coveted platinum ticket on the March 6th episode of The American Idol, blowing away the three judges with her performance. She's now on her way to Hollywood. Kennedy is 17 years old. Now, I'm not endorsing American Idol. I'm just telling the story, okay? She's an amazing child, super sweet and intelligent, Bayou Community Academy Director Melanie Becknell said. Becknell and other faculty members recall Kennedy performing in the school talent show when she was in fourth grade. Here are a few other things we know about Kennedy Anderson. She was discovered last year on Instagram She auditioned for America's Got Talent, but the producer directed her to try American Idol. She wants to pursue music, and she hopes this will kickstart her career. All three American Idol judges were wowed by Anderson's performance. She says she's been singing her whole life, but started to seriously pursue it at the ripe old age of 8. She's mainly self-taught on piano and guitar, and though she took lessons for about a year, she taught herself most of what she knows. She took that knowledge and expanded on it, and she's been writing her own music for a number of years. She started at 8. A child prodigy is defined by psychological research as a person under the age of 10 who produces meaningful output in some domain to the level of an adult expert performer. Some of the child prodigies of music are Martha Argerich, who was born in 1941. She made her professional piano debut at age 4. And her orchestral debut at age 8. And going way back in time, Frédéric Chopin was born in 1810. He was he played piano and he was a composer. He made his debut at age 7. And of course, maybe the most famous child prodigy of all, Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, born in 1756. Played piano and violin and was a prolific composer. He made his professional debut at age 4. His first composition was Andante and Allegro. One of the most prolific composers of the classical era, he performed all over Europe with his father Leopold and his sister Nannerl, if that's how you pronounce her name. Now, these are naturally gifted people, and there may be child prodigies here among us. I suppose we all thought we were child prodigies at one time or another. But still, they have to develop their talents. They have natural gifts. They have amazing natural gifts, far beyond the average person. The rest of the world doesn't have it like they have it. These are natural human gifts. But God has a different gifting for his people. Spiritual gifts operate on a different level. And they come directly from him. They have a deeper purpose. They have a different impact. There's something about the difference between an anointed singer and a talented singer. And there's something really powerful about an anointed, talented singer. The spiritual gifts are designed to touch people at a different level, to change lives, to impact people's futures, to draw people closer to God. They have a purpose. Your gifts, your calling. Pastor Roy's been teaching about Corinthians and Romans and Ephesians, where they talk about the spiritual gifts. This is different than the free gift of the Holy Ghost. It's actually a different word that's used in the New Testament. The gift of the Holy Ghost is a present. It's something that's given to you that you cannot buy. Like I'm going to get on my birthday coming up. That's the gift of the Holy Ghost. But the gifts we're talking about are anointed, supernaturally imputed talents and abilities that come from the presence of God. It's a special anointing. One dictionary says they're grace or gifts, denoting extraordinary powers, distinguishing certain Christians and enabling them to serve the church of Christ, the reception of which is due to the power, listen to this, to the power of divine grace operating on their souls by the Holy Spirit. The word that is used to describe these The root of the word is the word that we get grace from. It's the same root word. It's the grace of God working in us and through us. Strong says it's a divine gratuity. It's a tip. A special endowment. Praise God. There's a big difference here. When I go to the, I drink a lot of milk. If you go with me to the restaurant, some people are embarrassed by this, but I will order a glass of milk. And the waitress or waiter, three times out of four, they will forget to bring the glass of milk because it's so strange that this grown man is ordering milk. And I have to remind him. I drink about a gallon and a half of milk a week, maybe. About a gallon. But one thing I know about milk, I always check on the jug, the date. And I learned a long time ago that you don't always take the one out of the front of the rack. Look a little bit further back. There's older, longer dates there. You can take that one that'll last a little longer. There's a sell-by date on a lot of the food we buy. And there's a use-by date. What are the questions of a high school athlete making the transition to the college level? But before I tell this story, I got to tell about back when I was able to play flag football. We had a Leaf Day football game. And there was this one young man who was always bringing these ringers to the football game. These highly talented athletes that were from outside the church, which is really what we were supposed to be doing. But he always brought these really talented athletes and managed to always have them on his team, Peter. And there was one year when we were there and he brought, I don't remember the guy's name, but I was on a team and we were doing pretty well, but then we ran up against Peter's team and this guy, it was like he had a force field on him or something. I promise you, I was this close to him, ready to grab his flag, and suddenly he was over there 15 feet away. I don't know how he did it. But he just weaved all the way through the field, and everybody was doing the same thing, just reaching for him. Cut on a dime, accelerate. I found out afterwards that he was actually a college athlete who had been injured, and as a result, his college football career was cut short. But it was very clear that he was gifted and talented far beyond anyone else on that field. But what are the chances of a high school athlete making the transition to the college level? Overall, a little over 7% of high school athletes, 1 in 13, go to play at a varsity level. And these are the most talented in the high school. Only 7% and less than 2% of high school athletes, 1 in 57, go on to play NCAA Division I. 59% of high school football and basketball players believe they will get a college scholarship. 60% of them are sure, I'm getting a scholarship. But only 7% do. 98 out of 100 high school athletes never play collegiate sports of any kind. And less than 1 out of every 100 high school athletes receive a scholarship to a Division I school. Only 1 in 16,000 high school athletes ever makes it to the professional level. There's a sell-by date. There's a limitation on our gifts and talents. All right, let's go to the professional level. Average length of a player's career in the NFL. Anyone know the answer to this one? 3 years. A lot of people have looked into this. Statistic depicts the average length of a player's career in the National Football League to be 3.3 years for players across the... They made it to the league for 3 years. He's the exception. And the day will come when Tom Brady leaves the field. Kickers are the longest lasting statistically. 4.87 years. Quarterbacks last 4.4 years on average. Yeah, I know about Tom Brady. Or Aaron Rodgers. Kevin, can I say that name out loud here still? Cornerbacks, just under 3 years. Wide receivers, a little bit less, under 3 years. And running backs, about 2.5 years. But the Bible says that the promises of God in him are yea and amen. Second Timothy 1:6-7, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting out of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That phrase, a sound mind, really is talking about a disciplined mind. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of self-discipline. If we submit to the Holy Ghost, he will empower us to discipline ourselves in the pursuit of his will. Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen. Revelation 17 says, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. That's what God's looking for today. He's calling you. I don't need to know anything about you to know that he's calling you. For God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That all should come to a knowledge of the truth. And once you have given your heart to God, once you have been baptized in Jesus' name, once you have received the Holy Ghost, he's not done. The call is continual. Paul tells us that once it was Israel that was called, and it was their job to represent God to the world, but he also tells us in the letter that the wall between Jew and Gentile has been broken down. In the book of Revelation, the Bible says that whosoever will may come. 1 Peter 2:9 says, you are a chosen generation. He's speaking to the church, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. That means a people set apart, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. We are all called. We are chosen according to our response to that call. Will you RSVP today? Will you submit to the call of God in your life? Whether it be to be involved in ministry within the church or outside of the church, whether it's behind the pulpit or in the Sunday school classroom, will you submit to the call? Will you answer? Will you respond? Let's stand. We're chosen according to our response. The first call is out of darkness into his marvelous light, but then he calls us to stir up our gifts. 2 Peter 1:5 says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, that's our part, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. This is the progression. I personally think of it as a spiral. God spins us around a spiral over and over again. And each time we come to one of these levels, we're to go deeper and deeper into God and into His will. We're never done. For if these things are yours, if you allow this to work in your life, and they abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You feel like you've reached a dead place in God? You feel like you've plateaued? Like maybe you're a little dried up? Go back to 2 Peter. Start the process all over again. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful. Verse 10 says, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Praise God. You can know you're in the will of God. You can know the thing that you're doing is what God called you to do. You can know you're ready to spend eternity in heaven if you'll only answer the call. Child of God, He's calling you again. He's reminding you. He's affirming that call. Whatever it is, maybe something you pushed to the side years ago, maybe something you've been evading up until this point, He's reminding you today. If you've never been filled with God's Holy Spirit, He's calling you to surrender through a thing called repentance, where we surrender ourselves to Him. We ask for His forgiveness, and we ask for His strength to live a righteous life. We admit that we're sinners and that we need Him. He's calling you. I, without a doubt, not because I'm here, but because He's here, I know there are people who have felt Him calling them today in this place, drawing you, dealing with your heart. You came here for a reason. We're all here for His purpose. If you feel Him dealing with your heart, if you feel Him calling you, if you want to stir up the gift, I want you to step out from where you are. Come and pray. If you need to, ask someone to come with you. Ask someone to pray with you. Ask an elder to lay hands on you and pray for you. But send your RSVP today. Respond to God's call, to His presence, to His touch. Praise God. Our God is faithful. Our God is faithful.
Yes, the Lord is good.
child prodigies. There may be children here who God is calling right now. Give them space to pray. Give them faith to believe.